The following is from Little Rock Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. For more information, visit littlerockchurch.org.
Our text this morning is going to be Ephesians 1, 1 through 14, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. We're in a new sermon series this morning. We're going to be looking at several passages over the next few months in the book of Ephesians, and our sermon series is entitled Tribute. Tribute. We're thinking about over the next few months what it means to live lives of tribute to God. Ephesians is a book. It's a wonderful book. It's not a book that was really written to fix a problem in a local congregation. It's high theology that talks about how Jesus redeems and reconciles all things to himself. He redeems creation to himself, and he reconciles all people to himself. And as a result of what God has done through Christ, those who follow Jesus, their responsibility is to live lives of tribute to Jesus Christ. In other words, those who place their faith in Jesus, God expects us to live and walk a certain way. He expects us to behave a certain way while we're on this earth. And so that's what our series is going to be about as we unpack what Paul says in the book of Ephesians over the next few months. As I read this week in one commentary, Ephesians is not so much a book that preachers, when they preach it, they don't really ask, what are we going to do with this text? But Ephesians is much more the kind of book that we look at the text and we say, what is it going to do with the hearts of the people? And that's, it's rich, rich theology. It's high theology in terms of biblical letters. Ephesians 1, 1 through 14 is going to be our text. And out of respect for God and his holy word, if you would please stand with me, starting in verse 1, going down to 14, and then I'll pray, and then you may be seated. Starting in verse 1 of Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view of the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is nothing more important that we could be doing right now. And Lord, I don't want to say anything new this morning. It is a privilege to say the things that you've already said. Lord, I don't want to be cunning. I don't want to be a knowledgeable fellow who speaks with an emphasis that people find attractive. I want to proclaim Christ in such a way that hearts are awakened to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit in a way that nobody in this room can explain. Lord, if there are people in this room who are in bondage and sins that are hidden, I pray they would be brought to light. You love us. You have adopted us. You have predestined us. You have given us an inheritance. We have every spiritual blessing. Lord, we need a reminder right now how much you love us. To this end, I pray, and for Jesus' sake, amen. Maybe seated. I know that not everybody in this room is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Some of you might be here because, honestly, your spouse just drags you here each week. And if that's you, I want you to know I really like you. I really do. Some of you might be here because you're trying to figure out what truth is. Some of you might be here, and you don't every week, you hear me preach and you hear our preaching team preach, you don't buy into everything that I say, and I understand that. I don't buy into half of what I say. But you honestly just don't know where else to be on a Sunday morning. You've always come. You just come, and you're going to be here next week. But as far as an active disciple of Jesus Christ, you don't think of your faith in that terms. You just think of, I go on Sunday morning, and we do this church thing because that's what I did growing up, and that I would call you an almost Christian. You may not describe yourself that way, but I will. You're not quite a fully follower of Jesus Christ. You're just kind of here, and we're thankful you're here. I recognize that not everyone in this room is a disciple of Jesus this morning, but in knowing that, I want you to know that my message is primarily aimed at those who are disciples of Jesus this morning. And I hope everyone else, if you're not there, thankful that you're here. I hope you will listen closely, because what I'm about to say is good stuff. That's a theological term, by the way, good stuff. And I want to talk to the disciples of Jesus this morning. And what I want to do is two things. One, I want to remind you of who you are in Christ. And I want to remind you of what God has done for you. So those are the two things I want to do this morning with Ephesians 1. I want to remind you of who you are in Christ. And I want to remind you of what God has done for you. As I said, we're starting a new sermon series this morning called Tribute. We're looking through the book of Ephesians for the next few months at how Jesus Christ reconciles all things to himself and he redeems people to himself. And because he is reconciled and redeemed, he expects his followers to live lives of tribute to him. We want to live in a way that reflects the greater light, Jesus Christ. We want to be light in this world. Jesus used that illustration. You're to be a light. As a light on the, we want to be light, but it's only a light that mirrors the greater light, Jesus Christ. We want to live lives of tribute of how wonderful he is. And that is, in essence, what the book of Ephesians is about. It's high theology. And unlike other books of the Bible, this was not written to correct a problem within a church. This was written as general encouragement and exhortation to congregations. This was most likely a letter that was circulated among churches. It wasn't written to just one specific congregation. And Paul the Apostle in Ephesians 1, he begins this book by reminding his readers, who are disciples of Jesus, who they are and what God has done. And in verse 1, in his greeting, he calls his readers saints and faithful. To the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Some of you grew up in churches where you were told that saints, those were very special people. You grew up where you had St. Paul, St. Peter, Saint so-and-so, and you grew up in that kind of church. Some of you grew up in a kind of church where it was everybody pushed back against that, and everybody was purposeful. No, saints are everybody. Everybody who's a follower of Jesus Christ is a saint. And loved ones, I know the way some of you acted before you got here, okay? So let's be careful with that terminology of everybody's a saint. We know what it's like on the car ride coming to Little Rock Church on a Sunday morning. But some of you grew up where everybody's a saint. But what we often don't understand, Paul is writing in a first century context in Greek to pagan-born believers. These were not people who were born Jewish. And in Paul's day, Paul coming from a Jewish background, the word saint in Paul's day meant those who were attached to Old Testament Israel. That's what a saint was in Paul's day. If Paul would have used the word saint in a Jewish context, it was for those who were Jewish in the Old Testament. But Paul, the way he starts his letter, this is significant. He calls all of these pagan-born believers saints. That's significant. I think it's hard to wrap our minds around it if you grew up in a context where everybody's a saint. Imagine growing up in a context where everybody was a heathen. And then you have this guy, Paul, after coming to Christ, says, No. You're a saint. Let me remind you of who you are. I'm an apostle by the will of God, and you're a saint. I bring this point up to you because Paul is starting with a sense of positivity. He's positive in this letter. And then he closes out his introduction by writing about what God, about God and what he has done. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us. Have you ever received a blessing? Now, the kind of blessings Paul talks about are spiritual blessings, but I think what I'm about to say applies to all kinds of blessings. Have you ever received a blessing? If so, what do you do with that blessing? Many of you have Labor Day off tomorrow. Some of you don't have to work. Some of you do, but some of you don't have to work tomorrow. And for a lot of you, don't you look at tomorrow as a blessing? And what are you going to do with that blessing? Well, some of you are going to grill. Some of you are going to get out of the house and do something fun. Some of you are going to stay home and just enjoy the day without having to work. But the point is, right now, you're wondering how soon we can be done because Labor Day weekend has to start. Because you expect to use this blessing of a day off to its fullest, whatever that might look to you. Grilling, going hiking, just staying at home and doing nothing. Many of you who don't, you're going to use that blessing. It's the same thing at Christmas time with our kids. They can't wait to open up presents. I've never seen a child not excited about opening up presents. I don't think there's ever been a child who woke up on Christmas morning and asked mom and dad if we could hold off on all this for a couple days. Let things just settle down and move past. Let's just do, can we do this 2 days from now when things aren't so hectic? I've never met a child who got a present who wanted to wait. Why? Because children are some of the best people to learn from about what it means to celebrate our blessings. It doesn't take anything for a child to celebrate. They will celebrate anything small just because it's different. Sometimes my youngest daughter, who's 5, will ask me, "Dad, can we have family night tonight?" Which doesn't mean anything different than we call that night family night. Because every night, for the most part, is family night. We're just, yeah, we'll eat together and, okay, well, yeah, we'll watch a movie and it's family night. She goes crazy over family night just because it's something different and unique. So what do you do with blessings? And Paul says God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Well, Little Rock Church, you celebrate your blessings. You celebrate your blessings. And that is the tone of Paul in Ephesians 1, 1 through 14. He's going to remind his readers as he opens up this book, who are disciples of Jesus, of who they are and what God has done, and his tone is one of celebration. Little Rock Church, listen to this. This is my whole point on this. It is hard to live lives of tribute if you and I are not thankful to the God Most High for what he has done. It'll be impossible for us to live appropriately if we don't start out with a recognition of thankfulness to the high God for all the things that he has done for us. That's why Paul begins here, by saying God has given you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He's predestined you, he's redeemed you, and he's given you an inheritance. And what are we supposed to do as God's people when we're given a blessing? We celebrate. Like that child, we don't say, well, can we do this another day? No, we celebrate tonight. Did Arkansas win last night? We're in football season. I'm not going to step in it this morning, I promise you, by saying we shouldn't watch football. But I'll say this. Please be more excited about what God has done than what's on a football field. And all God's people said. Now, I didn't say don't be excited about football. There's a lot of things. If you're into that, fine. But for the love of everything that is holy, be more excited about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, in that he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. You have been elected to an adoption. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and you have been given an inheritance of eternal life. If that is not worth celebrating, I don't know what is. Does that make sense? So go be excited next week when with football. Come to me for prayer mid-season when they're not doing as hot as you thought they would, and ask about what can you do for depression, and we'll work through all that when the time comes. It's coming. I know it comes every year since I've been here. Everybody's starting, yeah, woo! And then halfway through, we understand. But loved ones, if we're going to live lives of tribute to God, we need to start out with the right posture. And the posture that Paul wants us to have is one of celebration and thankfulness, a recognition of what God has done for us. We have every spiritual blessing. I don't have this in my notes this morning, but I often say this when we get to this verse in other contexts. If you are ever told by someone that you are lacking anything in Christ, you need to show them politely where the door is. And what I mean, if someone says to you that you're not fully loved by God until you have X, Y, and Z spiritual experience, we don't have time to listen to them. So if someone tells you that you're not fully saved until you speak in tongues, or if someone tells you you're not fully saved until you have this sort of certain gift, and you may not experience this, but I experience it fairly regularly with some of the things I read. If you have anybody tell you that you're not fully saved in Christ without X, Y, and Z, close your ears. You don't have time to listen to that nonsense. If you have Jesus Christ and you're a disciple of Him, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing that God has for you. There is nothing that you lack before God on high. So don't let anyone ever, ever tell you that you haven't had this some sort of spiritual experience. Loved ones, Jesus Christ is our spiritual experience. We're not in right standing before God because you and I have an experience. We're right standing before God because Jesus Christ had the right experience, because He got on the cross. Our faith is placed in who Jesus is, not in who we are and what we do. So if your life is spiritually boring, but you have Christ, you have everything. You do. And don't let anyone ever tell you that you have to have a spiritual experience to have full salvation in Jesus Christ. It's utter nonsense. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. The Greek word for every there in verse 3 is every. You have every spiritual blessing. I took 4 semesters of Greek, and that's all I learned. Well, I say this because we're not going to get through all verse 14. When I outlined my text this week, I had 4 sermons, and we're probably not even going to get through a full one this morning. We're just going to do the best we can. But I say all this because I want to briefly work through these verses, and I want our hearts this morning and this week as we start this series to be one of celebration. I want to remind you of who you are in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we just need this because it's easy to forget our position if we don't feel like it at the time. I was talking to Russ White this past week. We had lunch together, one of our elders. And he's had a couple of tough years of circumstances, trying to find a new job, and by the grace of God, that happened. Violet and Beckett, and we've prayed for them for a while now. One of his sons a couple weeks ago was in a car accident. Russ had a heart attack. His dad died. And I don't think Russ has ever forgotten who he was or is, but I do think from time to time, every one of us who follow Jesus needs to be reminded of who we are and what God has done. And Russ White, God has elected you, He has redeemed you, and He has an inheritance for you. And nothing that's happened in his life in the last 2 years can take that away. Is Elisa Gardner in here? Does she have a boat? No, she's not. A couple weeks ago, Elisa, we love dearly. If my girls turn out like Elisa Gardner, I will be very happy. She's just a godly, good woman. But a couple weeks ago, she had the ER. She was having chest pains, and now she's on new medication, and she's getting all sorts of tests and some of the things that just go on with that. And I don't think Elisa forgot who she is, but Elisa, God elected her, redeemed her, and has an inheritance for her. Man, there is something I think powerful about being reminded of who we are. If we're to live lives of tribute to Jesus Christ, we need to be reminded of what God has done for us. And out of that remembrance, then we can live lives that are appropriate for God's people, no matter what the circumstance is. And so Paul says, we have been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in verse 3. That's what he says. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And he uses verse 3 as kind of a title, an overhead for what he's about to say in verses 4 through 14. And there's different ways to kind of divide this text, but I think Paul overall says there's 3 different blessings that he's kind of bringing to the surface that he says you've been blessed with. He says we've been blessed with every spiritual blessings. What are those blessings? Well, the first one in verses 4 through 6 is our election. And then in verses 7 through 10, it's our redemption. And in verses 11 through 14, it's our inheritance. So our election, our redemption, and our inheritance. And I want to say up front, we won't have time for the last two. Those will be homework. But Paul, he says, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, and our spiritual blessings are this, our election, our redemption, and our inheritance. And I briefly want to unpack that. Because if we aren't thankful to God for what he's done, it will be impossible for us to live lives of tribute to him. So firstly, he says that we've been elected. We've been predestined before the foundation of the world. We've been chosen. Now some of you, when you hear that word, you get really, really nervous. And you're really nervous right now, even wondering what I'm about to say. Because you know that word and that theology is hotly contested within Christianity by people on both sides who love Jesus Christ. More PhDs are given out because of it. It's a theological system. When someone says the word predestination or election, it's a theological system, which is sometimes referred to as Calvinism, based on a Swiss theologian by the name of John Calvin, who was a reformer. Even though I'm not sure John Calvin would be a Calvinist by today's standards, but that is a talk for another day. And some of you, when you hear that word, because you've only heard this conversation in this context, you wonder, does God predestine certain people for salvation? Or does God choose some people for salvation and others not? It's very popular. In fact, it's been in vogue for about the last 10 years in different ways. Some very popular preachers have come to prominence who are what we might call hyper or ultra Calvinist. Calvinism typically has 5 points. They've taken it to 7. 5 weren't good enough, so we're going to add some more. But it's a real question for many of us. Does God choose people for predestination? Does he choose some for salvation and not others? And well, let me rearrange that question for us and give the best answer in the world. Because we'll leave here this morning having figured it out. And all God's people said. I know they write books on this every year, but I'm going to figure it out for everybody right now. The question is this: how does God's sovereignty, because we believe God is in control of everything, how does God's sovereignty and his free will coexist? That's the question. How does God's sovereignty and our free will coexist? Because I believe we also have free will. It's in love that he has given us these spiritual blessings. In fact, later this afternoon, go back to Ephesians 1 and mark every time that Paul says love. It's in love that he's done these things. How do we have God's sovereignty and our free will together? Well, here's the answer that will solve all of your problems. You ready? You can write it down. Here's the answer. I don't know. But loved ones, yeah. But loved ones, I believe without any doubt that two seemingly opposed ideas can rest comfortably in an all-surpassing God. Do I believe that faith is a gift from God and that dead men can't raise themselves to new life? Yes. Dead men don't sing and dead men don't give themselves new hearts. It takes an act of God to give a regenerate heart faith. It's an act of God. You don't have it within you to raise yourself spiritually from the dead. And I don't have it either. I believe that God awakens the heart to faith. Do I also believe that you and I have free will? Yes. Do I believe that God wants to see all people saved? Yes. We have seemingly opposed ideas. How do they rest comfortably? Honestly, they don't rest comfortably in an answer that you and I are going to understand. They rest comfortably in our all-knowing, all-surpassing, all-omnipotent God. That's how it works. And anybody who wants to outline it a little bit more than that makes me a little bit nervous, because I don't want a God that I can understand, because the moment I fully understand God is the moment he's no longer God to me. So I believe that God is sovereign over our salvation. I believe you and I have free will, and I have no idea how it all works. But I know it does. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. Now, I've said all that, but I want to bring us back to the text, because some of you would wonder about that. I don't think any of that has anything to do with Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 6. Look at the verses again. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. So right there in verse 4, what did he choose us for? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be what? What were we predestined for? To be what? What does God call all Christians to be? Before the foundation of the world, those in Christ were called to be holy and blameless. That is what we are predestined to. We are predestined first and foremost to a character that is in step with the Holy Spirit. We are predestined to a character that is in line with Jesus Christ. I don't think Paul is talking about what we call soteriology. I don't think he's talking about a salvation issue. We are called and predestined to be like Jesus. All people who follow Jesus Christ are predestined to act like Jesus Christ. That's what I think Paul is first and foremost saying. And then verse 5, he predestined us to adoption as sons. He predestined us, or we could say children. He predestined us to what? I just gave you the answer. Children. We are elected to holiness. We are predestined to be children of God. That's what Paul is saying in verses 4, 5, and 6. I don't believe there is never going to be a time where a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, goes to hell. All followers of Jesus Christ are predestined to be adopted into the family of God, to live with God for all eternity. That's what we've been predestined for. All followers of Jesus Christ have been elected to have a character that images Jesus Christ. It mirrors Jesus Christ. That's what we've been elected for. We've been elected to character, and we've been elected to the right family. Those are the things we've been predestined to. That's what Paul, I think, is talking about in Ephesians 1 with this first blessing. What blessing do we have? Well, we know the kind of people we're supposed to be. God has there's not a Christian who isn't supposed to walk in step with the Spirit. Nor are there any followers of Jesus who are to be elected in outside the family of God. Every follower of Jesus is adopted into the family of God. That's what we're predestined to. That's what we celebrate. God has, listen to this as I begin to close. God has never predestined any of Jesus' followers to chase after sin. What God predestines is that those who are saved would have the same kind of character as Jesus. Before the foundation of the world, God elected that Christians would be like Jesus. He predestined us also to be children of God. So what are we chosen for? To be holy and blameless. What are we predestined to? To be adopted. See, what we celebrate and what Paul's point is here is not about God chooses some and he doesn't choose others for salvation. But what God has chosen is that all who follow after Jesus would have this uniform character about them and that they would be adopted into the family. I'll say it this way. No matter what happened to you this week, remember that you're a child of the King. No matter what has happened to you this week, you are a child of the King. Your job situation doesn't remove your status before God. Why? Because God has predestined you to be adopted into the family. Your bank account and your IRA and your 401k don't determine whose family you belong to. God predetermined, he elected, he foreordained that all those who follow Christ would be adopted into the family. Those things that happen here don't remove the latter. We celebrate because God has elected us into the family to act like Jesus. We celebrate because, as Paul goes on, and I wish I had more time, we'll come back to it one day. But he says there in verse 7, in him we have redemption. We celebrate Little Rock Church because we've been redeemed. How? Through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And then he says later on in verse 11, we celebrate because we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. We have been called by God to be elected, to be redeemed, and to have an inheritance. As I close, I thought this week how weird this idea of tribute can be. It's weird, tribute. John McCain's funeral was this past week, and lots of people paid tribute to him. In fact, it's common when someone we respect dies that we would pay tribute to them in some way. Now, this sermon series is a tribute, but it's not a tribute because someone has died and stayed dead. It's a tribute because we serve the living God. It's a tribute because death could not overcome Jesus, and we'll share in that forever and ever. Now, I'll say it again, just so it hits home, and I'll add some other things here so no one feels like I'm picking just on them. If you're more excited about what happened yesterday on the ball field than you are Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, I pray you would change your priorities. Doesn't mean we stop being excited what happens on the ball field. But what God has done, we got to celebrate it. Or you get that raise, that promotion at work that you've been working for a long, long, long time. Loved ones, if you're more excited about advancement in work than what God has done for you, you need to rearrange your priority. Doesn't mean please don't misunderstand me, be excited about the advancement in work, but that's not the thing. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And it will be impossible for you and I to live lives of tribute if we're not thankful to God for what he has done. And so this week, I want us all to be thankful to God. What has he done? He has elected us, he has redeemed us, and we have an inheritance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be a congregation of celebration for what God has done. Lord, help us to keep the things that we enjoy in this world, our work, hobbies, entertainment, good things. Lord, help us to keep those in perspective. Help to keep our minds clear that we would think more thoughts about you than we would other things. Lord, thank you for the grace when we struggle with this. And thank you for Paul's bold reminder of what you've done and who we are. For all this in Jesus' name, amen.